time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? In the book of Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be reading from the 11th verse down through verse 20. 11 through 20. So please, that you would follow along with me, open your Bibles up. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. It's at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see you, visit with you concerning what you have learned through the study of this precious Word. And most of all, I want to fellowship with you that you know Jesus Christ, that you've come to know Jesus and been saved. If you'd like to just drop me a card, why, it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church, 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois, and the zip code is 62341. So please, that you would come and see us. If you can't do that, why, please, that you would drop me a card and let me know that you are a child of God. If you have questions concerning the gospel, I'd love to share with you the joy that I have in Jesus Christ and the joy that you can have if you'll come to know by faith the Lord Jesus. Now it's time to study this precious Word. Please, that you would take your Bibles and let's read from the 11th verse through verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding even every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of His precious Word. Father, I thank You today that we can come and study Your sweet, precious Word. I ask for Your leadership, as always, that You will direct us. I ask that You touch the precious hearts today, that everyone will know You as their Savior today. It's a wonderful opportunity. And Father, please, that as You draw them, that they'll come recognizing, realizing that it's the greatest decision they'll ever make in their life is to come to know You as their Savior. And then, Father, for the joy of walking each and every day, please, Lord, that You will show each and every one the need to come to Jesus, come to You, and also come to the study of Your precious Word and grow in You. Now, please, will You guide and lead us? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the word righteousness now for a couple of weeks, just a little, last week particularly. And to begin there just very quickly as a review to start, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The fruits of righteousness, it is to live right, to walk right, to be just. It means to be holy. And you know, the fruit of righteousness, the fruits of righteousness, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. That's how we get them. It's not something you work up yourself. It is something that is God-given to you. And as a believer, that's the reason, my friend, that I tell you it's so great to be a Christian, because you have the joy and the peace of walking after the Lord Jesus. You have the wonderful power and strength of the Holy Spirit in your life as you walk each and every day. And the desire here is that being filled with the fruits of righteousness. In other words, you are filled with the power of God that has brought a cleansed life. And sure, that cleaning continues each day. Because the only day we're going to be perfect, today we find ourselves face to face with Jesus. But until that time, until we become face to face with Jesus, we will be progressing, working towards a point of perfection. as only can be done as the Lord Jesus cleanses our life through the means of the Holy Spirit, His precious Word, as we're washed each time we open up that precious Word to get rid of things that are filthy and dirty and bring in those things of righteousness. And, oh, again, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that should be our goal, and it can be a goal by surrendering our life and will unto God's to do that, to be holy, to be right, to live right, to be right in God's standards, in God's way, in God's eyes. Don't be putting yourself even with somebody else. We're not here for any purpose to match any reason that we are matching my abilities to someone else's ability. God has given each one of us a gift, and so I need to give all that I have to praise, honor, and glorify God. Now, if that is less than what someone next to me can do, if someone next to me is doing a better job than I'm doing, I still praise the Lord because God gave me this gift, and maybe this person, man or woman that's next to me, has greater other gifts that seem to be more important. Well, number one, they aren't. If they are praising, honor, and glorifying God, then they are doing what they should be doing. But if they're doing less than that, then they're not. And the same goes for myself if I do less than what God calls me to do. But please, that we look at what God has set before us, that we sit down and serve Him and praise Him. I would ye, in verse 12 now, Philippians 1:12, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have happened out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I wish that we would look at our lives each time as Paul does here, as Paul would be placed in prison and then tried falsely. Many times he was set free by the very power of God that he could go out and continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. All these years, Paul has preached the Word of God. He has proclaimed that precious Word faithfully. But you notice something that's always in the center of Paul's vocabulary, always something in the center of what he says, and that is the gospel. Because he knows the importance of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Many times we get comfortable in our churches and we feel like everyone is saved, everyone is a born-again Christian. We don't need to proclaim the gospel so clearly. Oh, if we talk about Jesus just a little bit, we're okay. We need to be telling people how to be saved. We need to be giving them this sweet word, the gospel. And that's the reason so many places, churches, and otherwise go against the gospel. And you can't imagine that it would be a church called a church, and yet they say that you don't need to take out the gospel and give it clearly to another individual. That's not our job. That's not our place. It is our job. It is our place. We have the Great Commission to take out, to teach. And that teach there is the gospel, giving the truth, the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Baptizing, following the Lord in scriptural baptism. Saved first, baptized next. Now maybe you believe in sprinkling where you go to church, or maybe that's what you were raised in. Well, my friend, that's not scriptural. Scriptural, the truth, the Word of God is that you're saved. It's a commitment you make to Jesus Christ as you are a person that understands you're lost and understands you need to be saved. And you do that by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit touches your heart, convicts your heart. Upon coming to Jesus Christ, if you receive that free gift of salvation, it's a gift you have to take. When you take that free gift, then the next step, the next command of God, is that you be baptized. Baptized is through immersion. You go down into the water. You go down under the water, picturing the death, coming up out of the water, the resurrection. You go through the New Testament here, you'll find that many times, many examples, as they would stop and what hinders me to be baptized, the Ethiopian eunuch said. And they stopped, and they went down into the water, and they come back up out of the water. It's not the amount of water, other than it needs to be enough to go down under, to picture how that we have died in Jesus Christ and we are made alive now, made new in Jesus Christ. That's the second command we need to do. Come by faith to Jesus Christ is one. Number two is to follow the Lord in baptism. Number three is to teach, proclaim the Word of God, tell other people how to be saved, grow in the Word of God. Now, please, that you follow that. And Paul here, he never left those things. He was obedient to be saved. He followed the Lord and was saved. Listened to his call, was saved. Followed the Lord in baptism. And then he started his work at teaching others. Growing upon the Word of God himself, but never leaving the simple fact and the simple message of the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul here says that even these things that I've went through, these troubles, these trials, these tribulations that I've been through, they have been to the furtherance of the gospel. Let's go back to the time when he was arrested and in Philippi. The Philippian jailer that was in charge of keeping him there. Remember when the earthquake, all those things, and Paul and Silas were singing praises unto the Lord, and all of a sudden this earthquake come upon them, and they were set free. Well, the first thing that happened, because they heard the gospel, they heard as Paul was proclaiming the gospel and Silas was proclaiming the gospel, the very first thing that happened is that the Philippian jailer came in, come down on his knees, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he was saved that day. He was baptized that day, immediately following that. Now, I believe that the Philippian jailer is probably a very strong leader within this church in Philippi. All these things Paul remembers, and now I'm in prison again. But don't worry about me, Paul says, because everything has been for the furtherance of the gospel, and he is giving praise to God for being in jail. Now, so many folks today, it's so difficult to understand sometimes. Doesn't take much to get somebody upset. Doesn't take much time to have someone something happens in their life, and it just devastates them, and it just sets them completely aside to any service to God. "No, I got to get this all worked out, and then I'll be okay." No, my friend. You come to the local church, and you have a local church that preaches the Word of God, the truth, preaches the gospel. You come and you stay. You be faithful to that church. Don't let that old devil lead you around. I get so tired many times, physically tired, of folks that are led around by Satan. Good folks. Folks that are born again Christians. And yet the old devil leads them everywhere. They don't even recognize it. They don't know it. My friend, maybe you're one of them that's being led around by Satan. If you're listening to something other than the Word of God, and if you're forsaking the house of God, you're being led by Satan. "Oh, I'm a child of God. I can't be led by Satan." No, you can't be overtaken by Satan, but you can be led by him. And you sure are. So please, my friend, that you come into the house of God and be faithful to his house and the service to him. And look upon all these circumstances and situations, as Paul did, a point, an opportunity to further the gospel. It was a test, my friend. And if you walked out of the house of God, you failed the test. In verse 13, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Oh, it's great. I'm in prison now. I was in prison before folks were saved. I'm in prison now. Folks are being saved. It's just that simple. I love the simple message that Paul preaches. When Paul arrives, folks are saved. Anytime Paul walked down the street of any town, anytime he was put in prison, anytime he was anywhere, it seems like that every time the word pops up that folks were saved, well, Paul has no special power that you and I don't have. He had the Holy Spirit in his heart. He had the joy of knowing he was saved, and he was setting out not letting anything turn him aside from bringing people to Jesus. Oh, my friend, that we would have that drive and that desire to serve. Look at verse 14. "Many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident of my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, Paul was such a mighty preacher, and the evidence of Paul's power, the power of God upon Paul, was so clear that many times I think people would stand in the background. You wonder sometimes when you proclaim, do we need to get out of the way a little bit so that God can push to bring someone else up to grow, someone else to begin to teach. And I'm always in prayer asking God, how do you help folks to grow? Well, Paul looked upon this time of being in prison as something that opened the door for those that were kind of holding back a little bit. "Oh, I couldn't stand up in front of people and listen to Paul. I can't preach that way." Well, when Paul was put in prison, they moved forwards. And they started to do what God all along had called them to do, but they were kind of backward and kind of bashful because of the force and the strength of Paul. They moved forwards to preach the word as well. And it said, I love this, much more bold to speak the word without fear. Moved him forwards, didn't it? And Paul saw that. Paul was a very wise man in the Lord. He could see what the result was, what was coming. We're very short-sighted sometimes. Sometimes I think we're even cross-eyed. We don't see very well. Oh, that we can have a spiritual eyes to have the discernment and be able to look forwards, not to be a fortune teller. You know, we've talked about this before as we've visited together. To be able to have the wisdom of maybe not knowing what's going to take place in the future, but knowing that if I do this, this will happen. And I'm willing to patiently wait for it. But instead of that, we are moved so easily by our feelings and our emotions, and somebody hurt us, and somebody did this, and somebody said that, and so it's upset me, so I'm gone. And all these things go on all the time. Satan is doing that to everybody. Some of you are tricked, and some of you aren't. But I ask that you realize the importance of preaching the gospel. Paul saw that, and he even realized that when he was in prison, that not only the people around the prison and inside the courtyard where he was located, folks were getting saved. He knew that. But he also heard rumor that there was great things going on outside too. And it was because he was kind of set aside for a little bit for them to move forwards. In verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. There was a combination of both here, and it's so sad to see that Paul, again, being a great preacher, a great soul winner, that people not having the right heart, they might have been saved, they might not have been saved, I don't know, but their heart sure wasn't right with the Lord. Because they looked at Paul as more of an enemy than a friend, more as someone that they were, you know, in being in business that I am, you know, you bid against folks, and so all of a sudden they become your competition, and you are bidding on a certain project, and so you do everything you can do to get that job, to land that job. Well, you're in competition with them. Well, we do the same thing within the church. Members against members, church against church. We find ourselves in competition, trying very, very hard to make our church seem better than the other church. My friend, we're not in competition. We have something to give, and that thing that we have to give is the greatest thing, and that's the sweet, precious news of Jesus Christ. We are not in competition. We are not opposing. We're standing for the truth. When we oppose something or someone, it's because they have left the truth, and we're to stand upon the truth. But here, these people, because Paul was so strong, Paul was so mighty, that they were intimidated by him, and they wanted the light. They wanted the light to shine on them. They wanted to look great. They wanted to look powerful, as Paul seemed to be. Paul, very humble, very quiet, very meek. And yet, my friend, people didn't receive it that way when they rejected what Paul was doing. They looked at all the accomplishments, and they wanted to have the same. Kind of sounds a little selfish, doesn't it? It sure does, and it is selfish. Please that you look, and here it says, even to envy and strife, and some also to goodwill. Some took that opportunity. If Paul can't do it, I'll do it. Oh, I wish that people would do that. That they would not look at something. They would just look at what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. We're supposed to be giving out the gospel. Please, will you wake up? Will you awaken from the sleep that you're in and realize that you got to get out of the church you're in maybe? I don't know. I don't know where you go to church, but I know that your church, where you attend, should preach the gospel clearly and simply with no ties to work. They tell you that you're saved by grace, by the power and the presence of God. You are saved not by just saying the words. You're saved because the Holy Spirit has touched your heart. And now you have a decision. You decide, yes, I'm going to trust in Jesus, or no, I'm not. And that's a decision every one of you have to make. But your church should be proclaiming that so clearly and several times through every service that people will know how to be saved. It's not a natural thing. It's nothing that just takes place. It's something that you have to do. It's a commitment you make to Jesus because Jesus is calling you now. He is calling you. He is drawing you by His precious Spirit. Will you come by faith to Jesus? Get down on your knees and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm lost. I'm sorry, I've been separated from You all my life, and I want to get back into fellowship with You. And I know, according to the Word of God, that if I come by faith, whosoever confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. That's a promise God gives you. On Wednesday night, we got into the section of Scriptures in Numbers that talk about the vows, taking a vow. And that is a vow, that's a promise that God makes you. He promises you. It's got to be a heart change. Can't be something just comes from your mouth and doesn't connect with your heart. Your heart and your mouth got to be together. You got to be together. Some of these people preached that precious gospel, and many folks were saved. Some people preached that same word because they were trying to look better than Paul. They were not preaching a lie. You have to understand this. A lot of times when people look at that envy and strife, in the 16th verse here it says, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to Paul's bonds. You see, they were preaching the truth. They were taking the Word of God. They were telling people clearly and simply how to be saved. But it was so sad because those people never got any benefits from it. Never any good things came from that for these people. Many folks were saved. Yes, people can be saved. If my heart right now is not sincere, if my heart doesn't care whether you're saved or not, but I want to be this big preacher, but I tell you the truth. I tell you that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died for you, and if you'll come by faith to Jesus, if you'll listen to that calling, that small, still small voice that you hear, that's Holy Spirit calling you, if you come to Jesus, you see, you can be saved whether my heart's right or not. It doesn't have anything to do with my heart other than I sure miss all the blessings. I'll miss all the joy. I won't have any benefits of you being saved if I do it in that manner, but many did. They did it to get against Paul, but they were still giving the truth. They were not teaching or preaching a lie. You understand? They were not. You know, we feel like today, and we looked back in 1 Corinthians Sunday when I was preaching. I was preaching out of the book of Luke, but I went back with a reference to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, and I believe it's in the 11th chapter, where it speaks of the power that Satan has. He has the power to turn his workers into literal apostles of Christ, literally apostles of Christ. He has the ability to turn himself into an angel of light. And he also has the power to turn his ministers into ministers of righteousness. Now you need to understand how powerful Satan, and when if you're attending a church, and there's some truth, there's some that isn't truth, if the church doctrine is opposing the Word of God, then don't give me this line that everything is okay, because it's not. You have been deceived. And there are many, many doctrines in this precious Word that man has destroyed and taken out of it. You need to listen very clearly that your preacher preaches the Word. The Word of God is very clear that the preacher of the Word needs to be a man. We've got pulpits everywhere that have women preaching. That's contrary to the Word of God. Oh, Larry, you can't say that. Times have changed. God's Word has not changed. You can change times all you want to, but God's Word has not changed. And He knows the priorities and things that are to be set forth. And one, it's Christ is the head of the church, and the man is next in line, and then the woman is next. Not any less joy, any less power and strength, but a position, yes, a different position. And my friend, there's so many things here that can be understood in this 15th and 16th verse concerning the things that were preached. But here, in this time, in the church of Philippi, it was the truth was being proclaimed. It was being proclaimed for the wrong reason. Maybe there was a group over here that wanted to have a bigger church than this group, and so we're going to, you know, I know that that church joined up with Paul, and so we're going to try to get you over here. But they were giving out the truth, the Word of God, the Gospel. And Paul says here, they think they're doing something against me. They're not. My whole purpose is getting the Word of God and proclaiming it, telling people how to be saved. And I love these verses. Indeed, I'm back to verse 15. Preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. But be careful there. Preach Christ. Don't confuse that you can have, you can leave the truth, and they were preaching a lie, and yet still Paul was praising them for it. He was not. He was praising them because they were preaching Christ and Christ crucified. They were preaching the truth in the wrong frame of mind, in the wrong heart, but they were preaching the truth. Paul could praise God for that because still the gospel was going out, and hopefully their hearts will be changed. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. You see those words? Supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I love hearing the word of God. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I love those precious words. You see what Paul wants? Paul wants the gospel proclaimed. Any gospel preacher today that's telling you the truth will make it so clear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend, you're missing the greatest opportunity. You're missing the greatest time of your life. If you've refused, if you've listened to some church doctrine, you say, I've done everything I need to do, or you've listened to some preacher that's lied to you, that tells you there is no decision that needs to be made. If you're called, you're going to be chosen. If you're chosen, then you're going to be saved, so there's nothing you need to do. There is something you need to do, and that is you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. He does the calling. He gives you the faith. He does all that. I don't have any argument about that. What I do argue about is that it's a position that you need to make. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a household of people. There's going to be a city load of people. There's going to be a world of people that are going to wake up in hell because they listen to false preachers and false teachers. They've been deceived by man today. Remember what I just said concerning, and I hope I have the right scripture verse there for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll look that up and try to give it to you next week. And as it said, turning them into ministers of righteousness. Can you imagine that? I'll tell you what, when you go into a church that doesn't stand upon the gospel, doesn't stand upon the truths of the Word of God, and you hear a preacher preaching from there, he says, oh, he's a good preacher. Well, if that church doesn't stand for the right gospel, the right word of God, it doesn't matter what that preacher says unless that preacher preaches on and changes you and changes that church. My friend, you need the truth and you need to listen to the truth. Paul can rejoice because these people were giving out the truth. And it's a joy to listen to folks as they proclaim the word of God, whether it be in this church or in any other church, that they tell the truth. Now, here at this time, they were building churches, growing churches. There wasn't the established church. Oh, there was the Jews in some areas as they had the synagogue and all the things they had to think about. But, my friend, they were out starting churches. They started with the truth and built from there. And then wasn't long, of course, they went away from the truth in many cases. I ask that that not be your case. I ask that you know Jesus. And if you don't, please come. Meet him at the cross of Calvary and be saved today. What are you going to do about Jesus?